This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Mother's Day. We all know what we're supposed to do. Thank and praise our moms for their great love, often overlooked effort, and numerous lessons they provided to each of us. Should be pretty easy, right? But how do you express your true love and thanks with a card, a gift, or a few moments of radio time? I never feel satisfied, and I've tried. I am a mama's boy, no doubt about that. I love my dad as well, but during much of the early years, my dad was trying to begin his career, so it was Mom who had the influence on me. Mom took the kids on our cross-country vacation trip. 3 weeks driving back and forth to Colorado with a 9-year-old boy and twin 3-year-old girls. I look back on that now and wonder what made her think we would all live to tell the tale. But it was a life-changing experience. The trip shows my mom's focus on her kids and what she wanted us to get from life. We went to Hershey, Pennsylvania, but we didn't spend a day at the theme park. We took a tour of the manufacturing plant to see how things are made. We visited Hannibal, Missouri, and toured the caves of Tom Sawyer and Mark Twain. I got to ride up inside the St. Louis Arch, see the old west town of Dodge City, Kansas, and the presidential homes of Dwight Eisenhower and Harry Truman. We visited the Mesa Verde Indian homes and went down inside a gold mine. My mom always made learning fun. She still does. My mom came to support her son even when his basketball team was going winless and being defeated by scores so bad that every game taught lessons of humiliation. I'm sure she can look back and wonder if that was the right or wrong decision, but I can look back and believe that she said yes or no at the right time. She always supported me, but didn't always give me what I wanted. She set us up to make Christmas cookies every holiday, but made us walk home, a relatively short distance in a small town, when we misbehaved in the car. And she always made our friends and family welcome. One of the most touching memories I have is her greeting a brother-in-law on Christmas morning and quietly consoling him over the loss of his father just a day or so before. I realized her love is infinite. She amazes me every day. I don't think I've ever fully shown her the love and respect that I feel. But happy Mother's Day.
Please forgive me if I act a little strange, for I know not what I do. Feels like lightning running through my veins every time I look at you. Every time I look at you.
And here we are. It is indeed Mother's Day. Mother's Day. 2007. We're going to call my mom in just a minute. I got a couple moms in the studio. Let's try and ease their butterflies and welcome them into the program. Ladies, how are you?
Great, thank you. Doing well, thanks.
All right, I have Katie and Nola Katie, the mom of?
Two. A boy who is 5 and a girl who is 3.
All right. And Nola?
I am currently the mother of 1, Caroline, who's 2, and a son who will be born hopefully this week.
Yeah, I was telling folks that I was kind of hoping that at about 11:50 or 11:55, you know, you'd have to rush out and, you know, sort of like like one of those great promotions that the TV shows do during the Nielsen months.
Well, you've delivered children before, right?
There's a first for everything on this program. All right. We are going to do a show today on mothers and motherhood and thank our moms. We'll be talking about some of the topics. Being an empty nest mom, raising boys and girls differently, the difficult parts of being a mom, and all those kinds of things. You're always welcome to dial in and participate because everybody has a mom, so you don't have to be a mom to just dial in today. 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Let me take a moment and thank Blue Ridge Graphics for allowing us to be with you today. You can find Blue Ridge Graphics at Mead Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746. That number can be found in the Charlottesville Yellow Pages. They're also at brgtshirts.com. All right, I'm going to see if I can find all the proper numbers to dial my mom. Ladies, I'm going to ask you while we get some background dialing music on, because there's about 40 buttons I have to push here to get on the outside information with the WNRN secret code. tell me a little bit, Nola, we'll start with you just in case you're not here for the full hour. tell me a little bit about, you know, your first child and you know, and the, you know, the good and bad part that went with that.
Absolutely. It's been an incredible experience. Caroline turned 2 on Monday, and it's been the best, most rewarding, most incredible, absolutely hardest thing I've ever done in my life, raising her so far, and I know it will continue to be that way. It's been great. I have learned a lot from my friends, my mother, my mother-in-law. You learn a lot about raising children just from watching the world around you. For me, it's been a lot of attempting to lead by example, and that means setting the right example when that's sometimes a very difficult thing to do. But I've loved it.
All right, let's see if I can get my mom here. Oh, yes. Now, I think she's on the golf course, honestly.
Hello?
Mom?
Yes, that's me.
Hey, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Sweet baby boy, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. That's one thing. I do have 2 folks in the studio today. I have Katie and Nola, and just in case they weren't sure, because they're relatively young moms with young kids, is that doesn't matter how old your children get, being the oldest and being the only boy, I will always be your baby boy.
You're my sweet baby boy.
Sometimes it's embarrassing when people are listening on the radio, but it is the truth.
It is the truth.
Well, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Can you tell me where you are at the moment?
Yes. Well, perhaps. I'm at Kings Mill on the Woods course in the middle of the 5th fairway. This is a par 5, and your father has just hit out of some extremely tough rough, and I'm at laying in the middle of the fairway.
Good for you.
Well, it is Mother's Day. You're supposed to be getting your way. Let me know when you need to take a swing, and I'll go back to Katie and Nola.
It's not my turn yet.
Okay, well, let me know when it is.
Okay.
I'm not going to let you hang up. I'll let you take a swing or two while we chat with you.
Okay.
You know, Mom, one of the original goals of today's program, but I had trouble finding enough guests to do so, so we spread it out a little bit, was Empty Nest Moms. And you seem to be, you know, instead of Mother's Day with the kids out at the, you know, the Red Lobster buffet, you're playing golf. You know, I'm curious as to how being an empty nest mom affected your motherhood.
It definitely frees up Mother's Day if you so choose. You don't have to go to the Red Lobster buffet. We did all the Mother's Day stuff last night. So now it's my turn to hit. I need to hit. Do you want to talk to your father, or do you just want
to you hit, and you come back when you're ready, all right? It's not Father's Day. We'll talk to him on Father's Day. He'll be on the course, too.
Okay. All right.
Hit first.
All right.
All right, Katie.
Yes.
Now you tell me about your first child.
Christopher.
Yeah.
Is 5 years old. He was born 7 weeks before 9/11. Which was a little bit of a shock to all of our systems. I was a brand new mom. I was definitely naive to what it was going to take to be a mother, especially to an infant. We struggled, I have to be honest. He was sort of a fussy child, and I was a fussy new mom, and we were just trying to make our way through, you know, getting to know each other. And then all of a sudden, something terrible happened in our country and in the world, and it really made me rethink what I was going to do to be a good mother to my son and how we were going to move forward as a family. And it was sort of an eye-opening experience for me, both as a parent and just as a human being. So I feel really good about the way we've sort of gotten to know each other over the last five and a half years now. And we're really very close, and I just love him to death.
Wow, that's pretty
deep.
Deep, good choice.
I'm back.
All right, well, good timing. My mother also gets bonus points for good timing. Katie just told us a story about having her first child a few weeks before 9/11, and the effect that had.
Oh my goodness! Yes.
Tell me what was some of the most. Incidents most like that when you were raising the kids, Mom?
Oh, well, when you were growing up, it was always...
it's always about me.
There was the drugs were becoming more prevalent in the schools, so it was always, how do we protect our children from that? That's basically the main thing.
All right. I got a question for you. What do you do differently with how do you treat the grandkids differently than you did your kids?
Oh, the grandkids, you can do anything you want to with them, and then you can send them home. Unlike a dog or a cat or your own kids, you can fill them full of sugar, chocolate, any kind of thing, caffeine, and then you can send them home.
But your mother never did that to me.
No, she probably didn't. She was a good mother, too.
Are you saying that you're a bad grandmother?
No, I'm a really good grandmother. They really love me.
It just depends on your perspective.
Last night.
All right. All right, last question for you, and then I'll let you get back to your game.
Okay.
Because it seems, and I may be wrong about this, but it seems like your generation was one of the first to truly start taking on being the working mom.
Yes.
And
I think you're right.
And I'm curious as to how that affected you and being a mom to the kids.
Well, there was always the issue of who are you going to trust your child with during the day, because daycares weren't as prevalent then as they are now. She didn't have all that many choices. Mostly it was a private person, somebody that you found that you already knew in the community, or somebody that was recommended by somebody that you trusted and whose judgment you trusted in the community. So, that's the way we handle this then.
All right. Last word on Mother's Day before you get back to your game?
Uh-huh.
Do you have one?
Do I have one?
Yes.
A last word?
Yes.
Let me tell those new mothers in the studio, nobody will love you like your son.
That's right. The daughters, they're not the same.
No, it they're not. But the daughters will take care of you.
Well, all right.
In your old age.
Just because they live closer to home, there's no need to be slamming me.
Okay.
All right. Love you.
All right. Love you, too.
Have a good game.
Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. You, too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Yes, indeed. That is my mother. And I will say that aside from being a good mom, she's also a good guest when needed on the phone. If you want to call up and ask the ladies a question, I do have Katie and Nola here, young moms. Nola about to be a new mom in a week or so.
Hopefully.
979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Ladies, I'm curious, you know, I'm sitting there, we're talking to my mom. Input and assistance from your own moms and other sort of motherish family members? Did you get a lot? Did you...
Let's
assume
first.
Your mothers aren't listening now. Did you appreciate any help or things that you got?
My mother, actually, Mother's Day is particularly poignant for me because I lost my mother in 2003 to cancer. And so I did get a lot of advice from her beforehand in the form of, when you're a mother, you'll see what it's like. And you'll, she definitely had a lot of, she was a working mother. She was also a single mother and the strongest mother that I've ever known and witnessed and seen. And so I learned a lot from watching her, not even the form of the personal advice that she gave me, but just from observing the way that she raised me. And I have to say, I feel like she did a pretty good job. And now I do get a lot of advice from other mothers as well. And that's certainly what I rely on to know what I'm doing on a daily basis. A lot of friends and my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law who has six sons. So she is yes. She's definitely an experienced mother. So I'm
medical,
really lucky to have all those people.
You know, they have medical things to prevent that.
I'm not sure how it got that far. But yes, six sons, and I believe that they're done.
Wow.
Yeah.
Katie?
You know, I do rely on my own mother for a lot of advice. She's living in Chicago, so we don't actually see each other all that often, but we try and get together as much as we can with my children. And she's pretty good. She tries not to interfere too much in what I'm doing day to day with my children. She's closer. My oldest brother lives in the same town that my parents do, so he often has a different take on how much she interferes and how much she lets him do what he needs to do as a parent. But I love my mother dearly, and I'm very lucky that that she raised me, I think, very well and has allowed me to be my own mom and do things the way I see best for my children, because my children are my own and they are her grandchildren. I think, just getting back to Nola for a minute, I think that, you know, Nola is a very strong mother as well, and I think she's absolutely right that her mother really did all the right things to make her a great parent. You know, I think we all listen to our friends, and we like to hear that we're doing a good job. We don't often think of ourselves as doing such a great job. So when others tell us, you know, that really makes a difference to a mom, I think.
All right, 11:19 here in the wake-up call. Katie and Nola are here in the studio today. Feel free to dial up and ask a question or tell us a story about your mom. You know, I obviously take the embarrassment of putting my mom on the air and not knowing what she's going to say. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. The markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly sunny today, highs 65 to 70 with a few clouds in Richmond. Clear and cool tonight, 35 to 40. Sunny tomorrow, highs 70 to 75. Right now it's clear in the valley and 57. Clouds elsewhere, 64 in Lynchburg, 62 in Richmond, 62 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let's take a moment and thank Five Guys Burgers and Fries for their support. Five Guys serves America's standard, fresh and handmade from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and they're open until 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Five Guys Burgers and Fries behind the fountain in the Barracks Road Shopping Center, in the Hollymead Town Center, and now on the Downtown Mall, all here in Charlottesville. On the web, it's fiveguys.com. That's F-I-V-E guys.com. And just so you know, the recent WNRN Spring Fund Drive received $94,000 in pledges. If you need to pay your pledge, stop by or mail payment as soon as possible. You can also still pay with a credit card by calling the station during business hours. The second round of written notices to those with unpaid pledges going out next week. So watch your mail. And this further reminder, about half of the premium packages still here at WNRN, and for those who have already paid but not made arrangements to pick their stuff up. Again, call or come by. All right. We are here talking about Mother's Day on Mother's Day 2007. Katie and Nola sharing their interest with us. Ladies, you're both working moms, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Were your mothers working moms?
Mine was not.
No?
Mine was after I started kindergarten. She went back to work.
Because I'm curious, you know, I asked my mom about it, and I have I have memories of my mom, and she chose to work. She didn't have to work. She could have stayed home. And I think a lot of that goes back, you know, I mentioned in the opening little piece that I did about the things, the way that she liked to sort of set example. And I think, you mentioned setting an example for your kids. And she had a lot of interesting jobs. You know, she was a teacher of 10th grade English for a while, and then she went back and got her master's degree and was a financial counselor for a while. And now she and one of my sisters run a title insurance place. So she's always been in a position where she felt she was doing something helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious as to how you balance the working part versus the mothering part.
I would say it's actually pretty difficult, but kind of ebbs and flows along the way. In my years as a mom, I travel quite a bit for my job, and that requires even more time away from the children. But they've come to, you know, they're used to it at this point, and they always expect a little trinket to come from every city I visit. So I'm often finding myself, you know, scrambling at the airport to find something for them, but I always bring something back. It's a tough balance, I won't lie, but it also is very rewarding to me to be a working mother. I'm very proud of the fact that I am a working mother and that I seem to think I do a fairly decent job balancing the two, and I try when I'm home to spend as much time with the kids as I possibly can.
What about, I would think that you have to have friends who mm-hmm. don't work.
Absolutely. Most of our friends don't.
And do you feel that you, I mean, you said you feel that you do a good job of balancing it. But do you feel that you could do a better job as a mother if you didn't work? Do you do a better job as a mother because you have these other experiences to share with them? Do you feel that your other friends think that you would do a better job if you were home more regularly? I mean, I'm a guy with no kids, so, you know, share this sort of information with me.
For me, I think that I think that I'm the same mother whether I work or not. It's the exact same the way that I would raise my children. I just think that, you know, the opportunities are different and the rewards are different and the risks are different. The challenges are different. There's many, many challenges both ways. Very difficult. But I think that I really respect my friends who don't work, who stay at home, and I think that they have respect for me for working. And I think that the example, again, going back to the example that I'm setting for my daughter by being a successful businesswoman is, you know, there's messages that you're sending with that are really, really strong to me that I value. And I think that's just a different type of balancing act. I think mm-hmm. that when you work, you're balancing, you know, being at work. Katie and I both travel. You balance that with spending as much time as you can with your children, with your spouse, with your friends, and finding that good balance in your life. And I think that when you're at home with your children, it's you still have to find a balancing act, and the balancing act is just different. It's finding personal time and time to do other things mm-hmm. that you enjoy that give you a sense of self other than being a mother, because I think you need that as well.
I think that's one of the things that's most difficult for us, and I think Nola would agree with me, that we don't have a lot of time for ourselves.
Absolutely.
Just individual time to do whatever it is that we want to do. Work out, you know, do anything. Go get our nails done. I mean, so that's tough.
Have you ever had that second thought about life without a child, just you and your spouse?
Mm-mm. No.
Not now.
Gone?
Yeah. Yep.
And never has never come back?
Correct.
Okay.
It's interesting that we both said that like that.
Well, and I'm, you know, I don't really know what my expectation on that answer was, other than to think that I don't know that I've ever heard a mother say that she thought twice about it. You know, and I'm sure that, except maybe in a movie or a TV show about, you know, the mother screaming at the kid about, I wish I never had you mm-hmm. kind of thing, but... Not with the mothers that I know, not with real life mothers. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it seems like.
I think, you know, this watching your children grow up and sort of living through them and kind of reliving your own childhood, it just brings back a lot of memories of my own upbringing. But it's just beautiful to see their innocence, and I would never want to have that go away.
Let's talk for a minute, because, Katie, you have a boy and a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Nola, you have a girl now and are expecting a boy.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between raising boys and girls. I'm curious as to whether, first of all, do each of your families have different rules and expectations for the boy versus the girl?
Not at this point. We definitely try and to be as consistent as we can with both of them. My daughter is a little bit more of a free spirit. And so she sometimes likes to take over and be in control. And she's asserting herself, and she's testing us. She's at that age. My son has sort of already gone through that phase and is come back around. And he's a pretty sensitive kid. But we discipline them the same as to each of them. And my husband probably is a little bit more stern than I am, and I think that's partly because I do travel, and so when I'm home, I want to be the nice mom. I want to, you know, and that's, so that can be frustrating. That's actually one of the things as parents that we have to work through. But no, I think at this point, but I think my husband's more nervous about Brooke as a teenager, my daughter as a teenager, and what he knows and what we hear on the news and, you know, what's out there with the internet and everything else.
Are you going to let, you know, your boy and your girl start dating at the same age? You know, they have to wait until you're 16. Doesn't matter whether you're the male or the female. You know, do you? Because it seems to me that there are these gender-based, some of which are stereotypes, some of which are just facts.
Yes.
And I'm curious as to how a mother plays those into reality.
I'm not going to know what I'm going to do until I'm in the situation, I think. But I do agree, and I feel like there are some very grounded differences between boys and girls. Even though I am only raising a daughter right now, I think, you know, from biology and psychology, I think that there are differences. And I think that just like every human being is different, you have to kind of take each situation individually. And I think it's going to be hard throughout my children's entire lives to treat them exactly equally.
Right.
because there's just there's all those differences, and it'll be very interesting. I have people telling me all the time, you have a daughter first, you are spoiled almost, you have no idea, boys are so different, boys are so much wilder, boys are so much harder to raise. And I'm like, my daughter is pretty wild. she's you know, she's a handful, and she's just like Katie's daughter, she's a free spirit. And I love it, I think it's great. So I think it's really a lot of who your child is as an individual. Mm-hmm. Even regardless of their sex.
And I think, you know, we're going to make mistakes along the way, and we're going to figure things out. But I think that we have to, you know, try and be as consistent as we can, because that's something even my pediatrician tells me. You know, one never knows how it's going to turn out. Their personalities kind of evolve, and so do ours as parents.
All right, we are here in the studio today with couple of young mothers, young kids, Mother's Day 2007 with Katie and Noah. Feel free to dial up. I'd love to hear from an older mother, maybe someone who is an empty nest mother or whose kids are in the high school and college years, to talk about some of the issues that go along with being a mom. Katie, your kids are, they're young, which 5 and 2?
5 and 3.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, what are the differences between them are boy versus girl, not personality?
Well, I mean, my daughter, I would say, already wants to mimic what I do, you know, with brushing my hair and putting on makeup in the morning, and she wants to be part of all of that. She likes to put on shoes. She tries on all my shoes and bags. I mean, she's just very much a girly girl. When she puts on a dress, she knows she looks adorable. But she's also can be a total tomboy, and she'll get out there and be sporty. You know, she wants to play t-ball with the boys and play football with the boys. I think Christopher is, ever since he was 2, you know, you notice how they sort of are drawn to boy, you know, like Ninja Turtles and things like that. They just really all of a sudden go towards the more boyish toys. And my daughter went straight for the doll. And I'm not exactly sure, I think, what Nola was saying before about biology and psychology and things like that. It's just, they're just drawn towards those things. And I'm not sure if that's what you're getting at, but that's sort of what comes to mind.
I actually think that's a fascinating phenomenon. I've witnessed it too, in terms of Caroline being drawn to, you know, quote unquote girly types of toys that I certainly have not kind of pushed in front of her. As a matter of fact, I've probably tried to do the opposite. But Caroline is, you know, right there watching me get ready for work, wanting to put on makeup, wanting to brush her hair and put on lotion, and yeah. I don't know, maybe my son will want to do that too.
Actually, but you know, not that there's anything wrong with that, but at the same time, he's just never really been interested. He's always gone in the other room and played with his little action figures.
All right. We are talking to Katie and Noah, and we want to thank 45fix.com for their support today. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate, no obligation estimates are available anytime. That's 45fix.com, the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. Also, I should take a moment and thank my friend Sarah for helping find guests for the show today. All right, who called first, Michael? Line 2 called first. Bill, please hang on since you are on the toll-free line. Ladies, get your headphones on. Beth?
Yes.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, great. I'm enjoying the show.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I love that your mom is out golfing today.
Well, you know, my mom goes to work a full 40-hour week when she's not traveling, but otherwise she is golfing.
I think that's great. And I'm sure Katie and Nola, at some point when their kids are older, they'll be able to go golfing and have their kids with them too.
So Beth, are you a mom?
I'm not a mom, but I wanted to call in because you all talking just made me think a lot about the questions you were asking about what makes a great mom a great mom. And, you know, I would say my mom, just over the years, the day-to-day things that you all are talking about, being a good listener, helping with homework, making mealtimes a routine. My mom was a great cook and taught a lot of manners, and, you know, everybody kind of talked about their day. And I think those routines really made the family strong.
Ooh, I like that. Good stuff, Beth.
Yeah.
I agree.
And family vacations, too. Like, Rick, when you talked about your road trip with your mom.
Oh, Lord, that poor woman.
Yeah, I think kids really remember that stuff. I have a lot of memories of family vacations, you know, going, you know, renting a cabin and my grandparents having one nearby and aunts and uncles and the whole extended family. You know, we had family reunions. And I think that gives a kid a sense of pride, that connection, not just with the immediate family, but either an extended family of friends or relatives.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. All right, Beth, thanks so much. You've given me a lot of stuff to jump onto.
Yeah. So, and I would encourage people, even after your mom is full grown, go on a trip with her. Because I recently, my sister and I took my mom on a bus trip. And, you know, my mom's in her 70s, and we had a great time.
Yeah, we got a family trip coming up this summer that my dad and mom are putting together for everybody in the family. So that should be exciting.
Yeah, so I'm so glad you're doing this topic today. And I've enjoyed listening to Katie and Nola talking about their young ones and hearing your mom on there. So great, great program.
Thank you, Beth.
Thanks, Beth. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Beth.
Bye-bye.
And Bill, are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm
all
here.
Right. We got Bill calling from Richmond. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, well, we're having a good day. I got some hot women in the room, although, you know, married mothers, you have to accept that for what it is.
Hey, man, I love hot moms. So it's Katie and Nola, right?
Yes.
Okay, how old are you guys?
Katie.
All right, now this is not the Meet the Hot Mom program. I'm going to trust
this question
is leading somewhere.
I call up and say, who are the hot moms, or did you?
All right, fair enough. I hope this is leading somewhere, so go ahead.
Okay, how old are you guys, Katie and Nola?
I'm in my mid-30s.
Mid-30s?
I will be 30 this year.
Okay, well, start out saying you had extremely young new moms on here. Well, you're not that young. So, okay, and all right, did you all go to college?
We did.
Okay, there in Charlottesville, or?
I did, Nola, I did.
Okay, what did you study?
My undergrad degree is in English, and my master's is in counseling.
Okay, pretty cool.
Thanks.
Yeah, I was calling actually to say I was an anthropology major, and I'm 40, I'm single, I've never had kids, I have never wanted kids. I don't know if it's just me, or because I studied in my field or whatever. I'm thinking maybe it's a difference between men and women. What do you think on this?
I don't necessarily think it's a difference between men and women, because I have friends who are women who have chosen not to have children, or at least at the moment are not planning to have children.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really sure. I think it's just where your experience takes you in life.
Okay. Well, I mean, and have you also thought, before you made the decision to have children, like, this is a crazy world, do I really want to bring up a child in this world?
I've thought about it. I have not thought about it in terms of making the decision whether or not to have children. I always knew that I wanted to have children.
Agreed.
But I absolutely think about it, and I continue to think about it when I see what's going on in the world around me. But it doesn't make me regret my decision. It makes me want to raise a child who contributes to society and loves life and is able to help others and hopefully make a difference and want to.
Yeah, so
right.
I think raise them with the values.
Exactly.
The values of.
We look at all the bad examples out there and want them to be the exact opposite.
I guess what I was getting at is, as far as the maternal versus the paternal instinct of, you know, usually what I see is more the maternal instinct is that need to have children, and the paternal instinct is not really to have the children, but to be there as part of the family unit.
That's interesting.
Not necessarily to have children, but to be there as part of a family unit, which in our society means hey, well, you got to be a father. And,
hey, Bill, you know, you need to contact me about subbing for the show every once in a while.
Well, hey, I loved what your mom said about, hey, I love kids, you know, but I like playing with them, visiting, and dropping them off.
Right.
So I don't have to change.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but you got to have a kid before you can have a grandkid.
My sister has kids, and I love being with them, man, but, you know, I like spoiling them rotten and going home at the end of the day.
Right, it sounds like you made the right decision then.
Yeah,
hey,
man.
Thanks for the call. Let's let some other folks call in.
Okay, man.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, 11:40 here on the Wake Up Call. Dial us up. I thought a couple interesting calls there from Beth and Bill, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, an ice cream truck is banned from Lake Monticello community because some feel it's a danger to the kids. More info in The Hook. Yoko Ono discusses John Lennon's art and the one-time possibility of them living in Charlottesville with Courtney Stewart. And The Hook previews the upcoming Festival of the Photograph, a first-of-its-kind event, and also the topic of next week's wake-up call. The Hook, the non-invasive approach to news and entertainment. M3 Marshall Contracting and Masonry and WNRN remind you that Live Arts is presenting a 60th anniversary presentation of A Streetcar Named Desire, the modern masterpiece by Tennessee Williams and directed by John Gibson. The story unfolds in a new context as we imagine a New Orleans flooded with past, present, and future. Tickets for Streetcar are at livearts.org. This message sponsored in part by M3 Marshall Contracting and Masonry. And don't be going anywhere, because in about 18 minutes, Les Temps Perdue will be here at noon. If French isn't your thing, that means the time's gone by. And on WNRN, that means late 90s, 80s through mid-90s alternative. Tune in for it next. Les Temps Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music, only on WNRN, with today's special guest host, Jazz Tupelo. All right, ladies, back with Katie and Nola for our Mother's Day 2007 program. Thanks so much, by the way, for coming in. I mean, you know, there are many, many mothers out there who would give no thought to this because it's their day and they want to be with their family and with their kids. And, you know, and it was just, it's so nice to see people come in and actually want to share their parts of their lives with other people. I really appreciate that. It's always nice to have folks give me part of their Sunday morning here on the show, but holiday times, are even more, more worthy for me.
Well, it's fun for us.
I want to take a minute and talk about politics. And I realize that you may not be interested in politics itself as to what the headline in the news is and what the president or foreign ministers have done and that sort of thing. But I've, something interesting that I heard this week. Single women are largely Democratic, something like 65% to 35%. Once a woman gets married, it changes significantly. And it's like 55% Democrat, married women or Democratic, vote Democrat, 45% vote Republican. But once a woman has a child, she votes almost 60% Republican. And I'm curious as to what your thoughts may be, and I'm not asking you your personal vote on, you know, various topics, but I'm just curious as to, and anybody who wants to call in, I'm curious as to what your thoughts may be on why this happens. What is the change in focus from yourself as a single female to your focus as a mother and your children that would lead to this change in your take on issues?
I'll go there. Katie and I were talking about this actually before the show started. I'm not going to ponder as to, you know, why people choose to change party lines, but I think it's a lot of what you were just saying, Rick, in terms of priorities change when you're single, when you're married, when you have children, when you're an empty nester, whenever there's anything going on in your life, I think that your priorities just change, and you look for, when it comes to politics, I guess me personally, I look for candidates that represent the values that are particularly important to me at that time in my life. And that might change party lines, that might change candidates, that might make it different. I think that it's just that getting married and having a family, those are pretty life-changing. I mean, for me, those are the two things that have changed my life more than anything else.
Can you give me an example of a topic? And again, I maybe it's just one that you're aware of with a friend or family, or maybe it's your own. I'm not asking you to share your deep, you know, what goes on behind the voting curtain. But what topic would make someone say, I'm voting this way, when I'm 25 and don't have a kid, and I'm voting this way when I'm 29 and I do have a kid? It's not that. I can see the difference from when you're 25 and you're 65.
Well, I think that
enough time has passed
before you have for me personally, I think that I'm more acutely aware of politicians' stances on education spending, for example. Things like that.
Okay.
Once you have children,
mm-hmm.
I've become more aware of fiscal policy, things like that. Once you're married and taxes, and
sure.
There's all different sorts of things. I think that there actually is a pretty big difference between, you know, if you're single and 25, and if you're married with children when you're 29. There's different things that you value. It's just kind of the bottom line for me.
All right, 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS is the toll-free line.
One of the things I was just thinking about is, actually, it may be pretty controversial, but abortion, I think, sometimes changes people's views as they become parents. Just something to think about. I don't know if it has an impact on that or not, but I wanted to bring it up, I guess.
Yeah, well, and I can, you know, I can see that. And I don't mean to disregard that. There's a phone call ringing, so we'll jump into that call in just a moment. I can understand that, because your view may be, I don't mean to lighten it,
yeah.
But that I may need that as an option, and so I'm voting pro-choice, and then once you are married, it's like, oh no, once you've had a child, everyone, you know, every child is important, and it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, a choice, a bad choice, forced upon you or whatever, that child would improve someone's life. And I can see that. But it's only one topic. And you're talking about a change, almost a complete swing in political change for these women.
Mm-hmm.
And so, who become mothers, I'm curious. All right, let's take a call. We got Jerry from Albemarle. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Rick, this is Gary.
Oh, hey, Gary.
How you doing?
I'm great.
Good. Just a quick question. I wonder if the two women think that Mother's Day is over-commercialized. It seems like sometimes these holidays are not fabricated, but, the marketers, the business community steps on them with heavy advertising and almost makes you feel guilty if you don't buy somebody a Valentine's gift, a Mother's Day gift, a Father's Day gift, an Easter gift, whatever. Now just hang up and listen.
Hey, Gary, I like that question. Thanks.
I think that's a great question. I think every holiday is over-commercialized.
Absolutely.
Personally, but I still want to be acknowledged on it.
Yeah, I would agree.
Well, and it's not quite like it's St. Patrick's Day and Cinco de Mayo, which have really sort of lost their original intent and just become days to buy, you know, the case of beer instead of the six pack. Mother's Day, yes, I would tend to lean in with Gary that it has become commercialized because I need to buy, you know, the new release from Hallmark so that she can have her little figurine for the ever growing, you know, collection. But still, you know, and I've said this before, that if goblins and leprechauns and, you know, war vets, of whom my maternal grandfather I love dearly, gets noticed several times throughout the year, why is it so hard to take one day and acknowledge your mother, even if you didn't have a great relationship with her, to acknowledge your mother? I don't have a problem with that, and they can, you know, it hasn't gotten to the point yet where it's over commercialized for me.
My husband taught my 2-year-old daughter to say Happy Mother's Day this morning, and that was what I got instead of a card, and I was perfectly, wonderfully happy with it.
Yeah, the same with me. I got hugs and kisses from my kids.
Yeah, I think it really depends on the people and what you can sort of pull out of the commercialization part and turn it into something meaningful. All right. I think it was Bill who mentioned, it might have been Beth. I've lost track already. I'm so easily distracted. The daily duties that go along with being a mom. I'm curious as to what some of your favorite, that's right, Beth was talking about fixing dinner and things. I'm curious as to what some of your favorite daily duties are that you feel like you get the most out of in being a mom, especially since you travel. I would think that the daily duties take on even that greater of a love.
I like playing outside with the kids when we get home from work and school and just, you know, playing soccer or t-ball or whatever it may be. That's my favorite thing to do. And then bath time is always fun. We like to play a lot of games. They like to play, you know, they try and hit the ball at the top of the faucet, and we just have lots of fun games that we try and do. So it's all about sort of sporty stuff, I guess.
Okay. So you're trying to make your kids earn enough money that they can take care of you later in life?
Absolutely.
Noah?
I just love, we have a lot of routines each day that involve talking about the day, and I love that. I love having a conversation. I pick my daughter up every day, and I love the conversation on the way home about what she did that day and what she ate for lunch and what she played, and breakfast is fun. I get her up in the morning and have breakfast with her, and those are definitely routines that I feel like benefit children, that children really count on and notice when they're not there.
Are there things that you're looking forward to or sort of not necessarily looking forward to as your kids get older?
I would say...
Along the daily activities thing?
No, I don't think I'm not looking... I wouldn't say I'm nervous about anything in particular. I have already had my son has gotten in trouble a few times at school, so coming home in the evening and having to talk through what happened and sort of determining whether or not he's going to be open enough and talk with me. I think that's a hard, you know, being open with your children and having them be open back with you. I guess I would say I'm a little bit concerned about that. I want to make sure that we keep the communication lines open as a family, you know, whether it be over dinner or out in the yard or wherever, but that we try and stay closely connected into what is going on in school for them.
Do y'all sit at the table and have dinner for four people?
We actually don't, which I would like to do more of. Honestly, you know, I try and sit down with them while they're eating, but I'm not ready to eat at 6 o'clock when I'm feeding them their macaroni and cheese or whatever it may be that I'm trying to just get through the day.
Noah, what are some of the daily activities that you look forward to as they get older?
I was actually going to say we don't have an established dinner routine yet, and I think it's really important, and I am looking forward to that. It doesn't fit in with our day right now because my daughter goes to sleep at 7, and so sometimes my husband isn't even home from work yet.
What time does she get up?
She gets up between 7:30 and 8. She's actually a prodigy in that respect. She loves to sleep. But I'm looking forward to having dinner where we're all actually sitting down and eating the same thing and discussing our day. And
same with
me. I think that's a great bonding opportunity.
And that was something my family did, and I think it really made a difference. And I think, you know, there are a lot of studies about that, so I definitely want to insert that into our routine when we can.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a moment to thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, they have everything you need for outside this spring, including trail maps, guidebooks, and footwear for any trail. Blue Ridge also offers backpacking classes and overnight guided backpacking trips. You'll find Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barracks Road Shopping Center. here in Charlottesville at Wintergreen and at BRMS.com. And just as a reminder, this is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. Of course, you could be listening on one of the many other stations, such as the new 95.1 in Harrisonburg, which means you should have called earlier, because now we have a toll-free line, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, 979-0919. Just a few moments left with our mothers for the day on Mother's Day 2007. Our working moms, Katie and Nola. I'm curious as about, Katie, you mentioned your travel earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And how the one or one thing was that the kids expected, you know, a little a trinket, something that you were thinking of them while you were gone. And Noah, I'm curious, you know, I was fortunate enough to be raised in a family, you know, I mentioned earlier that ridiculously fun trip that my mom took us on, and I will never understand her desire or choice to take it. Sometimes I wonder if it's some sort of court penalty. What do you want to do with your kids in terms of travel? Because it's obviously a big part of your lives.
I personally want to start to get into the habit of being able to take a family trip every year. I think that's another kind of important tradition to establish. We took my daughter to Florida this year for the first time to visit my father. And that was our first experience traveling with her, and it was wonderful, and there was so much anxiety beforehand, and it was a great trip, and I think that you're exposing your children to so much. I mean, I love to hear when you were talking about what your mother did with you. I mean, I love to hear those experiences. I think that's a great thing, and that obviously has made a lasting impact on you, so I want to do the same thing.
Katie?
Yeah, I would say some of my strongest childhood memories are those of when we were taking a trip as a family, getting in the car, piling in the Buick station wagon, and heading down to my grandparents or heading down to Florida, wherever it may have been. I'm sure they were tough on my parents, because now that I travel with my kids, you know, for several hours in the car, it is rough. But it's, you know, once you get there, you're providing them a new experience, and it's fabulous. And we actually go to the beach every year with the kids on our anniversary, which is actually coming up this weekend. And everyone always says, oh, you're taking the kids with you on your anniversary? I said, absolutely. I mean, we're a family, and that's what we do, and they love it, and it's become a tradition for us. So I'm fortunate that we can get away for 4 or 5 days.
All right, last question or so, because to me, a lot of, obviously from the son viewpoint up rather than the mom viewpoint down, is about holidays. Beach trip over anniversary sort of thing is, I have vivid, pleasant memories of holidays. And I'm curious as to your take on things and attaching, how do you attach good memories to special days for your kids? Is that possible? Do they just have to happen? Because, you know, for example, now, well, we've done it for as long as I can remember. I come from a very large extended family, and we've always rotated where Christmas lunch was, and, you know, we're talking like 30-plus people. Mm-hmm. But my mom, at some point when I was a kid, and she had these young kids, everybody comes to our house for breakfast, and she fixes breakfast for like 25 to 30 people.
I think it's the consistency. I think it starts to become part of each and every year, and the child remembers it that way. I mean, that's how I feel like I remember those family trips and those holiday occasions where the grandparent, everyone came to our house for certain things. It's just establishing, like you
the
said,
tradition.
A tradition.
Yeah, I would agree.
And
that
makes the memory that, you know, that firms it in everyone's mind.
All right. Well, it is time to finish up. I hope that everyone has a lovely and memorable Mother's Day, especially you two ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy Mother's Day, everyone.
Appreciate you coming on. And happy Mother's Day to my mom. I hope everyone talks to your mom today. Jazz is up next with Les Sims Perdue. Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon Gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Michael Strickland. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.